Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. The question is, does she have to give the ring back? Does she have to give the ring back? And of course, you know what I'm talking about. In the traditional sense, in the old days, when a young couple was going to get married, the man might ask the woman, would you like to marry me? And if she says yes, he would then present her with a ring, an engagement ring. And of course, not everything works out in life. And if the wedding doesn't take place, does she have to give the ring back? Keeping in mind that in today's society, let's just say two entities are going to get legally bound and the marriage ceremony doesn't take place, does one entity have to return to the other entity the ring which was given in anticipation of the marriage and or other legal ceremony of similar nature? I'm going to stop doing that now and return to the old school concept of marriage simply for the sake of the discussion. So don't get offended. I understand that men and women and all that can happen. But I'm simply talking about someone gives someone a ring and says, will you marry me? They say yes, they accept the ring. The wedding's off. Does the ring go back? And here's an interesting thing. This will vary from state to state. So I have to tell you right now, I'm talking about Michigan law where this is settled. In your state, it might be different. However, I have to point out that this is a popular topic. I've written about this before. I've talked about it before on previous radio shows I did. And in fact, I remember driving around in Detroit one day years ago, and there's a talk show in Detroit that's no longer here. And they were discussing this exact topic. And people were arguing and screaming and yelling. And somebody actually said, I wonder if this has ever been litigated before. And so I thought, oh, okay. So I picked up my phone and I called in and I got the producer on the phone. And I said, hey, just to let you know, I'm an attorney. And this has been litigated. I can tell you all about it. And the guy goes, we don't want the answer. And he hung up on me. And keep in mind, that's the difference between talk shows and what I do here. I give you the answer. And talk shows often thrive on just people calling up, arguing and screaming and yelling and never moving the ball down the field, as I like to say. So here's what happens. In Michigan, this has been litigated and this is considered good law right now. It's a case from the Court of Appeals of Michigan called Meyer versus Mitnick. And the case was decided in the year 2001. And I'm going to try to translate this into plain English for you. But plaintiff was Barry Meyer and defendant was Robin Mitnick. And they were engaged in August of 1996, at which time Barry gave Robin a custom-designed engagement ring that he purchased for $19,500. $19,500 engagement ring. And again, those are in 1996 dollars. And it's kind of funny because I was looking at the footnotes to the case. And footnote number one says, for the sake of simplicity, the parties will be referred to by their first names. And the first names, of course, are Barry and Robin. I thought to myself, why is that easier or more simple than saying Meyer or Mitnick? And then I realized, oh, wait a second. They're actually specifying which one's the male, which one's the female. Plaintiff Barry gave defendant Robin an engagement ring that cost $19,500. And then in November, approximately 2 months later, Barry asked Robin to sign a prenuptial agreement, and Robin refused. The parties agree that the engagement was broken during that meeting, but both Barry and Robin contend that the other party caused the breakup. Robin would not return the engagement ring, so Barry filed the present lawsuit in December. Barry alleged that the engagement ring was a conditional gift given in contemplation of marriage, and that because the condition of marriage did not occur, the ring should be returned to him. Robin filed a counter-complaint alleging that the ring was an unconditional gift and that because Barry broke the engagement, she's entitled to keep the ring. First of all, if it was an unconditional gift, it wouldn't matter who broke the engagement because an unconditional gift is here. Have this, you know, Merry Christmas or whatever. So that doesn't make any sense. But second of all, she says she's entitled to keep the ring because Barry broke the engagement. Okay, so that's what we're getting down to here. So the funny thing is, the court points out that, and it goes, although not relevant to this appeal, Robin also demanded payment for forfeited deposits made for wedding services, and she also alleged assault and battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Now, obviously, if there's any assault and battery or intentional infliction of emotional distress that's actionable in this case, that's a different matter altogether, and that's good to put that in a footnote because we're not talking about that today. So they went to court on this, and the parties basically agreed that, yeah, we broke up at that meeting where he brought up the prenup. So the court, being asked by Barry's attorney said, look, he gave her an engagement ring. The engagement got called off. He gets the ring back. And the court said, yeah, you're right. Boom. Give him the ring back. So Robin then went up on appeal, which you can do from the circuit courts in Michigan, and asked the circuit court to visit this. And so here's what happened. The issue presented at the Court of Appeals simply is whether or not fault can be considered in determining ownership of an engagement ring following termination of an engagement. So in other words, does it matter whose fault it is? And this is the distinction. There are some states in America where if a man gives the woman the engagement ring, it says, here, will you marry me? She says, yes, she takes the ring. If she calls the engagement off, she's got to give the ring back. But if he calls the engagement off, she gets to keep the ring. And that's, like I said, in some states. But Michigan is what we're talking about here. And in your own state, you can look this up. So you'd run the search, just engagement ring in your state and probably conditional gift, and we'll see what the cases pop up. The Court of Appeals in Michigan concluded that determination of who owns the engagement ring following termination of the engagement does not require a determination of which party's at fault. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He can call it off. She can call it off. Doesn't matter. Although Robin does not challenge the trial court's finding that an engagement ring is a conditional gift given in contemplation of a marriage, an analysis of the conditional nature of the gift is essential to a complete analysis of the issue presented. So the Court of Appeals goes on to analyze this, but luckily they only do it in 3 pages. You should see some of the other stuff they write. One of the few cases in Michigan involving gifts in contemplation of marriage is a case called In Re Low Estate. Unusual case. There, a man gave an engagement ring to a woman, but because of other circumstances, the couple didn't get married. And then the woman who got the ring eventually passed away, and that ring went into the estate. And so then the man tried to get the ring back, and the court stated then that the engagement ring is a conditional gift made in contemplation of marriage. But the court further cited that the general rule, if the engagement is broken by the donee, the donor is entitled to recover the ring. That is, the person who got the ring has got to give it back if they broke the engagement. That's what the court said previously. And the court cited the general principle that if the engagement is unjustifiably broken by the person who gave the ring, he does not recover the ring. The court specifically stated that these results can be justified on the finding of fault in the conduct of one of the parties. So it looks like from this that you'd say, well, hey, the woman, if she can prove that the man broke off the engagement, should get to keep the ring. But the court noted that where the engagement is expressly terminated by the mutual consent of the parties, the general view is that the donor may get the ring back since the principle applies that the ring was given and received upon the condition subsequent that it would be returned if the parties did not wed without fault of either. Okay? But then the court says that this actually does not help anybody here. It says, we find, however, that the court's discussion in Lowe concerning the ownership of an engagement ring after a broken engagement is merely dicta. It's just the court just talking but not making a ruling because the statements were not essential to determining the outcome of that case. And this is one of those tricky things. Courts generally only rule on the issues before them, and the higher you go up on appeal, the narrower those issues become. And you've heard of this before many times where the Supreme Court will actually have something before them and they'll say, well, we're going to rule on this really narrow issue. We could rule on this, but it's not before us. And that came up in the case of Timms versus Indiana, where the guy whose Land Rover was forfeited when he got arrested for something. And the Supreme Court said, well, we're going to address this on the issue of whether it's a fine, an excessive fine. We're not going to touch it as a civil asset forfeiture. Why not? They just didn't, okay? So once in a while, they'll say, hey, there's a very, very narrow issue here. And so what this Court of Appeals is doing in Michigan is they're saying, well, the previous Court of Appeals ruling that appears to talk about this, they were just talking. They weren't ruling. Statements regarding a rule of law that are not essential to the outcome of the case do not create binding rule of law. So future attorneys and attorneys take note. If you find a case that you don't like the way it's going, cite that and say, hey, that was just dicta. So while there's no Michigan law regarding ownership of engagement rings given in contemplation of marriage where the engagement is broken, the jurisdictions that have considered cases dealing with the gift of an engagement ring uniformly hold that the marriage is an implied condition of the transfer of title and that the gift does not become absolute until the marriage occurs. Most courts recognize that engagement rings occupy a rather unique niche in our society. One court explained, where a gift of personal property is made with the intent to take effect irrevocably and is fully executed by unconditional delivery, it is a valid gift inter vivos. Such a gift is absolute, and once made cannot be revoked. A gift, however, may be conditioned on the performance of some act by the donee, person getting the gift, and if the condition is not fulfilled, the donor may recover the gift. We find the conditional gift theory particularly appropriate when the contested property is an engagement ring. The inherent symbolism of this gift forecloses the need to establish an express condition that marriage will ensue. Rather, the condition may be implied in fact or imposed by law in order to prevent unjust enrichment, and there they are citing cases from Wisconsin. Likewise, in Ohio, in Kansas, and another one from Ohio, and New Jersey. So it is a conditional gift, but who gets the gift when the condition is not fulfilled? The general principles of law concerning a donor's right to the return of an engagement ring or its value when the marriage does not occur are contained in a collection of cases from multiple jurisdictions. The older ones rule that when an engagement has been unjustifiably broken, the donor shall not recover the ring. However, if the engagement is broken by mutual agreement or unjustifiably by the donee, the ring should be returned to the donor. The critical inquiry in this fault-based line of cases is who is at fault for the termination of the relationship. And here's where it all gets rewritten. The other rule, the so-called modern trend, holds that because an engagement ring is an inherently conditional gift, once the engagement has been broken, the ring should be returned to the donor. Thus, the question of who broke the engagement and why or who is at fault is irrelevant. And this is what we call the no-fault line of cases. We find the reasoning of the no-fault cases persuasive because the engagement ring is a conditional gift. When the condition is not fulfilled, the ring or its value should be returned to the donor, no matter who broke the engagement or who caused it to be broken. As stated by the court in Aronow, which is one of the cases above, in concluding that the fault is irrelevant, what fact justifies the breaking of an engagement? The absence of a sense of humor? Different musical tastes? You better believe it. Differing political views? Obviously. The painfully learned fact is that marriages are made on earth, not in heaven. They must be approached with intelligent care and should not happen without a decent assurance of success. When either party lacks that assurance, for whatever reason, the engagement should be broken. No justification is needed. Either party may act fault. Impossible to fix does not count. We hold that engagement ring given in contemplation of marriage is an impliedly conditional gift that is completed gift only upon marriage. It is a completed gift only upon marriage. If the engagement is called off for whatever reason, the gift is not capable of becoming a completed gift and must be returned to the donor. And as they point out in footnote 4, Michigan, as well as legislatures and courts in nearly every state, has moved toward a policy that removes fault finding from the personal relationship dynamics of marriage and divorce. Most states. The policy statements that govern our approach to broken marriages are equally relevant to broken engagements. So in Michigan and in most states, once the engagement's called off, the ring or its value goes back. Quite frankly, if I spent $19,500 on an engagement ring and gave it to somebody and then the marriage got called off, I'd rather have the cash back because giving me that ring, probably can't get my $19,500 back for it. And it's not like I could hang on to it and then just bring it on somebody else and go, hey, look what I got. And then I go, wait, it's not the same ring you gave that other chick, is it? So that's the way it is in Michigan. That's the way it is in most states. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.